But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Fan-run radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Friday. You know what that means. We are here in studio ready for another fantastic show for you here today. Just a couple of minutes past 10 a.m. on the time clock. My name is Rick Butler. To my left, that is Brandon Orrick. To my right, that is Charlie Collier. And, of course, the one and only Chance Collins back behind the booth. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Almost to the weekend. Finally there. How are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Okay, good to hear.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Now I can say it. Now I can say the day. Say it. It makes sense. Yeah, it's Friday.
There you go.
You can't be like it.
There's an emphasis on it.
It's Friday. Tuesday. Tennessee plays tomorrow. The playoffs are this weekend.
Yeah.
It's a good day.
I like it when you say it's Friday. See, sometimes, like, I was harping on you. I didn't even get to Rick. Sometimes Rick goes, it's Tuesday, so you know what that means. And that throws me off sometimes. I'm like, well, yeah.
So
Monday through Friday, we're here. Do you know what I'm saying? You've heard it before, and you've thought the same thing. You've thought, why is he saying it's Tuesday? You know what that means.
So
and
I
then
never,
sometimes, maybe. Yeah,
that's your mic's not on, Charles.
Yeah, you just turn your mic on.
You must not know what it means.
No, I'm saying, like, what about if I am one of the people out there, and he goes, it's Wednesday, you know what that means, and then he never circles back to tell you what it means. Think about it.
Well, you better figure out what it means.
He never circles back.
I know what it means.
It's on you to figure out, not me. There's a story behind it, actually, but I've never really shared it. There's probably a select group of people
out
there.
I don't mind him saying that, but I'm saying if I was somebody new to the show, I'd be like, what does it mean, Rick? What does it mean?
So there is probably a small group of people out there who knows what it means. I never really shared it with you guys, and I think I did it like a couple of times 2 weeks ago or something like that. As soon as
yeah,
we
it's
came
just
back,
it's recent.
Yeah, because at the end of December, a wrestler passed away, and I know we talked about it on this show.
Oh,
and it was that one that was in the WWE for a while, and now he was in that new company for a while. But one of just his catchphrases that he would go and tweet out, or he would say all the time, was he would say that he would tweet it 7 days a week. You know, it's Sunday. You know what that means. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way up through the week. So when he passed away, a lot of his fans, including mine, I was a huge fan of him, a lot of his fans would do tributes, something to do with that quote or that line. So that's when I started doing it. But I never told you guys about it. So you're fair to question it, considering the intro hardly ever gets changed, and it's typically the same thing because, you know, muscle memory at this point.
Oh, yeah, I should have known it was a wrestling tie. Speaking of wrestling, my girlfriend's daughter, huge wrestling fan. After that Raw, remember when we all went to Raw?
Yeah. So long ago.
Huge wrestling fan. Always like, can we watch?
Oh, she stuck with it.
I was always like, can we watch wrestling? I'm like, no.
Chance.
No.
Why are you depriving her of this?
I mean, generally, because it's not like a big, like, because we got like the package to where I can watch all the wrestling events. So if it's not anything big, I'm like, no. But she's a huge like, I'm serious, like, in front of the TV, like, whenever, like, probably, like, we were kids, like, Sasha Banks, yeah! I mean, this is a girl, so, like, she loves it. I mean, like, seriously, it's taking on a whole new level. I'm like, no, like, you need to work on your soccer, like, this wrestling stuff. But, hey, maybe one day it should be next Sasha Banks stuff.
Hey, man, I remember being a kid and climbing up on the couch and doing the Swanton bomb off of a stack of pillows.
Oh, yeah.
And look where I turned out, Chance. So, obviously,
hey, man.
Turned out pretty well.
Anything's possible.
Charlie, doing good this morning on a Friday?
On a Friday, yeah.
Whoa, that didn't sound like you were not doing well.
What?
It was like, on a Friday, yeah. I don't know. It sounds jovial. You know what, Charlie? I found a picture of you the other day.
Oh.
Throwback whenever we were doing side-by-sides of you and Buzz from Home Alone. I was, before they're laughing over there, I was going to say, Charlie's lost a lot of weight. Like, I could see it in your face and everything in this picture.
Yeah.
This is like a picture where you had on a Pred shirt and I did the side-by-side with Buzz. Like, you can see it in your face.
I think I'm going to go back to the mullet.
Oh, yeah?
It was something.
I've got my hair really long right now.
It was something.
This time, instead of letting like the drunk girl downstairs cut it, I'm going to go to a real haircutter.
Oh, yes.
That was by far your fatal flaw.
I think you should go back to this look.
When I met Charlie Brandon, oh, my gosh. He was a, you know, nice comb-over hair.
Really?
Nice short,
I had a buzz cut.
Up.
Until my sophomore year of college,
you would have
my
no
entire
idea.
Life.
He looked like a million bucks.
Slowly I started growing it out a little bit.
Looked like a million
bucks.
I want this picture up behind us today.
Charlie and the Deacon?
Yeah.
Okay.
He did not want to take
where
that
did
picture
you,
either.
Where did you sent us a picture of you and Rick Barnes yesterday. Where did you meet him?
I went
Was that
to
Vanderbilt?
To the Tennessee Vandy game, and we were beating him so bad everyone left, so I just snuck behind the Tennessee bench, and then he was walking off, and I took a picture with him, and then I went to their bench and, like, took up all the play sheets and stuff that they left and kept those, too.
Hmm.
Who is the most famous Tennessee-related person that you've ever met?
I met Bruce Pearl at one of my high school basketball games.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Got
was
him to
he,
sign a shirt. Yeah.
Was he there scouting?
Yeah, Skyler McBee.
Oh, wow. Oh, Granger County Zone.
Nice. I have former multiple times.
Yeah.
Waited on him in the
You've
service.
You've told us a bunch of stories
Service
about that.
Industry. He's a cheap tipper. Doesn't
really?
Doesn't tip well.
Wow.
I don't care. Put it out there. Yeah, he's a cheapskate.
Well, the tip is that you get to wait on a legend like Phil Fulmer, didn't
I gave
you
this,
know?
I bought this man like a $20 dessert. He's like a 15% tipper.
Oh, gross.
I bought him the dessert out of my cheap pockets. Millionaire.
You bought
there.
The battle captain a dessert?
Yeah, this was when I first moved to Knoxville. When King. He was, I think he was maybe a year removed from the job.
Yeah.
So he was kind of down, too. Like, seriously, you could tell, like, he was down. I really think it was, like, the first season that Kiffin was coaching. And he came into an establishment I was working, Italian restaurant. And, like, he waiting on him. And, like, his wife said he left. And I was in the back getting the dessert ready. She's like, oh, he left. I was like, oh, man, I made him the dessert. She's like, I'll call him, tell him come back. And she did, and he came back.
Wow, he came back.
He's yeah. Oh, yeah. He was in there with his daughters and her and their kids. And, like, he enjoyed everything. He's like, thank you, thank you. You know, a lot of thankfulness in the words, but wasn't a great tipper.
Huh.
And then
a $20 dessert?
Yeah, it was $20. It was like a sampler dessert for like three different full-size desserts on this, like, nice, like, tier stand, too. One,
fine
boom,
dining.
Boom. Yeah, I was working in fine dining.
Oh, my.
And then I met Condridge. That was really big for me.
Really?
Yeah, I met Condridge Holloway. Like,
where did you stumble across that?
Whenever I used to work
That's
at
a cool one.
Cherokee Country Club, I got in with some, you know, some big wigs where a lot of the money is here in town, a lot of our boosters over there. And I actually got to meet Bobby Bowden the same day. I got to pick Bobby Bowden up from the airport in his private plane. It was the Night of Champions.
Yeah, you have a picture of that one,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hosted by St. Jude's Hospital. And so what it was they did a fundraiser, and they reminisced and talked about Bowden and Fulmer got on stage and talked about the 1998 championship. Obviously, that was really tough for Bobby Bowden to do. But, yeah, he came back into town. All the money went to St. Jude's, and Condridge was there. It was a bunch of, like,
wow.
You know, former Vols there.
That would have been something else.
Yeah, I got a picture with Condridge, too. Yeah, that was really cool. That was cool for me.
I was here during my orientation when I was coming to UT, and or maybe it was like a year before or something, but I saw Conzo in a copper cellar right there on the strip, so I got his autograph on my orientation page because I didn't have anything else to get signed. And then my only other claim to fame is that I met Swiper Boy's dad.
Put a little respect on
it. Is that Ronaldo?
Orlando.
Orlando, yeah. Okay.
Put
sorry.
A little respect, Swiper Boy's dad.
Well, I didn't want to get it wrong like I just kind of alluded to there, so you helped me fill in the blank. Those are my only two claim to fame. So
he died recently, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, it wasn't recently, but it was like 4 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I want to say.
I think you're right.
Orlando Warge.
2012.
Yeah.
Also, a little more.
Yeah, a little bit more than that, 8 years ago, yeah. I remember it happened as like maybe Swiper Boy's first year out the program or maybe his last year in the program it happened.
Yeah. So anyways,
that's
good to
a
hear.
Cool one. Charlie, did you?
I don't know. I mean, I've met a lot of like.
Are you Barnesy
people.
And?
Barnes, Conridge, Johnny Majors.
I didn't get to meet Barnes. I got to, before Trey came here, I did like the beat stuff like 1 year. I guess I wasn't doing a good job. I didn't get asked to do it again. But I got to do basketball, and I got to interview Barnes, like, you know, post-game, ask some questions, but never, like, got to, like, talk to him.
There you go. We are off and running on a Friday morning here on The Blitz. No matter where you are, no matter how you're listening to the program today, hey, we really appreciate you tuning in to us today. We got a ton of stuff to get into and not a lot of time to do so. Tennessee has a basketball game that right now looks like it is good to go tomorrow at Thompson Bowling Arena versus Vanderbilt. So, of course, we'll get you ready for that. We'll tell you about the team and where everything's at right now. Guys, it is hiring season right now in the NFL as three new NFL teams find their head coach. We'll tell you about which moves were made over in the league over there. And then we got plenty of other stuff to get into. A little bit more about what we know from the investigation with Tennessee football. Kind of where that's headed or our thoughts on that. And then certainly some more stuff from around the sports world as well. But of course, our number as always to get in with the show, 865-546-8200. That is the number to call in. Chance will answer you on the other side. And we will certainly get you into the program today. No matter if you want to talk about some basketball, maybe some football, or maybe something else, something in between, be sure to give us a call. We would love to hear from you. So with that being said, on the other side, we will get into the beginning of the show. We'll probably talk a little bit about this Tennessee basketball game. Get you ready for it just nice and easy off the top. Should not be too difficult of a test for Tennessee tomorrow at home. But then again, you haven't played in about a week. So what is that going to look like? How's that going to factor in? We'll break it all down coming up next right here on The Blitz. All right, gentlemen, here we go back here on The Blitz. Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you. How about we talk a little basketball right at the top? How do you guys feel about that? It's been a while.
Well, it beats the alternative.
We can at least talk about something nice and easy and just kind of get right through it today. Preview for tomorrow evening's game against Vanderbilt home at Thompson Bowling Arena, 6 o'clock p.m. on the SEC Network. Vanderbilt travels to take on your number 10 Tennessee Volunteers. Tennessee a 93% chance to win this game. Vanderbilt 4-5 on the year so far, 0-3 in conference, with those three games being a loss to Florida to lead things off, then a 3-point and they lost by like 20 in that game. Then a loss to Kentucky by 3 points, which was very close, and then a loss to Mississippi State by 3 points as well. So 0-3 in conference, but two of those games by a combined 6 points. Meanwhile, Tennessee has won 4 out of the last 5 and still 9-1 on the year. Brandon, when you sit down to watch this game tomorrow, you watching it with a White Claw, just kind of sitting back on the couch, or is this going to be a nice and relaxing game, you hope?
Well, I hope so. Is Vanderbilt going to be back to full strength, or will they still have a few guys out due to contact tracing? I mean, as of right now, I believe the game is set to be played.
It is. And but, I think we will know by, like, the end of the show. Like, I think we would know this morning. Unless like, a breakout happened the day of.
I mean, is there maybe, like, a last round today of testing? I don't know.
I would imagine that they would leave today and maybe they get tested before they leave.
Yeah. That would make sense.
They probably got – I would –
Or maybe they got tested.
Educated
yesterday.
Guess, maybe they got tested early this morning and they're waiting for the results and then they leave this afternoon. Kind
Again, of I would imagine that if something's going to happen with that game today, you're going to know on this show or Talk Sports.
Really was not expecting us to play.
I am glad that we got this game in because I do agree. You know, you get the game canceled on Tuesday and you don't necessarily wind up thinking that you can run those two teams back. Just 5 days later or so, but that's the way that it ends up happening, and Tennessee's able to get this game out. You would have never thought that could ever happen, you know, some 6 months ago. Teams could play just 5 days separated apart, but,
maybe it was all, like, high-risk, close-contact stuff, and maybe no one actually got COVID.
Yeah. So, in terms of on-the-court matchups and things like that, you know, something kind of stuck out to me in Tennessee's last game against Texas A&M, and that was I think the continued rotation that Barnes has thrown out there. Right? Like, you certainly saw, first off, the theme of the game was small ball. Small ball, small ball, small ball. It was Eve Pons and John Fulkerson down low, and then Anasicki and Conwell played a combined 9 minutes. And I don't know how much they stepped on the floor in the second half. Anasicki did not score in the game. Barnes is seemingly increasingly comfortable with playing the small ball lineup, and I think that's because of the trust of a couple of guys, and obviously I think that's the trust of Jaden Springer to play defense, moving him into the starting lineup. But man, you got Keon Johnson and Victor Bailey Jr., and I think you really trust Josiah Jordan James, like we've been talking about in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, you're the more talented team in this matchup tomorrow, and Vanderbilt, they're improved from what they were last year, but I mean, you should have no problem with Vanderbilt tomorrow. I mean, they may hang with you for a half, but I would expect Tennessee to go out and handle business, take care of business. You've not played in a week, so it's your in-state rival. I would expect Tennessee to come out and handle business tomorrow against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I do too. I think that obviously this is probably more of a game where you watch Tennessee and kind of looking at certain scheme things that Tennessee wants to do. And again, one of the big things that I'm going to be looking at is the rotation. Did anybody else have any thoughts on maybe what Barnes is doing with the lineup right now or anything else in regards to this team heading into the game tomorrow?
Well, one more thing.
Yeah.
I'll be watching Victor Bailey Jr. tomorrow. His last time out, he only had 3 points in 18 minutes last Saturday against A&M.
Is that the first time this season that he has second time this season, maybe, that he scored only single digits? No, first two games got off a little bit slow. But only the second time since December 15th that he had scored in single digits.
So I'll be watching him, see if he can. Because, I mean, you saw it from Arkansas to A&M. Vescovi had a bad game or an off-shooting night and then bounced back and had a career high against Texas A&M. And then, like I said, I'll be kind of keep my eye on Victor Bailey Jr.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And you've seen this, you know, a couple of Tennessee players really have some nice bounce-back games this season so far already. I remember, Fulkerson kind of steps out to mind. Against Alabama, only scored 7 points. Didn't have a great night of shooting. Didn't really shoot the ball that much. Only shot the ball 5 times. Then came back versus Arkansas, and that was when kind of he really put his foot in the ground. Started shooting above 50% for the first time in a couple games. Shot 6 of 11 and winded up with 16 points. So I think Tennessee has done a good job at kind of getting some of their players to have strong bounce-back games after maybe a little bit of a cold outing. But either way, excited for what we should see tomorrow. Any other thoughts on basketball team right now?
No, I mean, I think it should be a pretty easy game. Like you say, don't know how many people they're going to have at full strength, but Tennessee with a week off, should have some fresh legs, go out there and handle business. I don't think this one will be close at all. As far as lineup goes, I think Barnes is moving a lot of things around to find that set starting lineup before, you know, you hit the postseason play stuff. Trying to see if some of these freshmen, obviously, if they can handle the weight of being starters. Seen him throw Keon Johnson in there. He's been talking so much about Springer lately and the games he's been having and him coming off a pretty good game. I think you might see him try to fit him in there eventually because you want to get him ready and see if he can handle it. And you probably want those guys starting at tournament time and maybe some of your veteran guys being in the second unit because these guys are definitely more athletic than Vescovi or Bailey at times. But Brandon's right. Let's see how Victor Bailey bounces back as well. And I think this should just be like a good game to, you know, set up for you got, what, three more after this, and then you get Kansas. So,
yeah, that's exactly right.
You got to get everything worked out now, and then when you get ready to face your biggest test on national TV.
Yeah, there's an analytics account on Twitter that follows the shot quality that both SEC teams take and then they force upon their opponents. So on the one axis is defensive shot quality, and on the other is offensive shot quality. Tennessee is in the top right corner, meaning, I mean, the best out of both offense,
good offense, good
and
defense.
And then the only other ones above average in offensive shot quality are Arkansas, Alabama, and LSU, but they're all average in defensive shot quality. Vanderbilt is the worst at both. So they are having a hard time on both ends of the floor this year. However, despite those analytics, they've looked pretty scrappy at times this year. They've been a pretty competitive team, and you know they have some talent. Scottie Pippen Jr. Has played really well this year. So I wouldn't overlook Vanderbilt, especially because it feels like, you know, a lot of times they do find ways to play us close despite talent differences. And as much hate as their coaching gets too, I honestly don't really think he's a bad coach.
And I mean, I know Kentucky's hasn't been Kentucky this year, but I mean, Vanderbilt gave them all they wanted at Rupp a couple weeks ago. So I mean, I'm not worried about this game. I think Tennessee will win, but I do think Vanderbilt could hang around for a little bit.
So I do kind of want to make one more note, and this is just something I'm seeing. And again, one of my big, you know, thoughts about this game coming up tomorrow, again, is not what do we need to do in order to win, but it's just what is the team going to look like coming out tomorrow. And again, my mindset right now is focused around the rotation. EJ Anasicki. I think this is a guy that we're all very excited about coming into this year, and that's certainly not to say that we're not excited about still going forward, but I think maybe it's been a little bit disappointing at times. And to me, one of the big reasons is, you know, there's not a ton of games where he's gotten to the free throw line very much. There's one game where he's gotten to it six times, one where he's gotten to it four, but then never really anything above that. So you look at the first seven games, and over the first seven, he averaged about 14 minutes a game, and over the last three, that's jumped all the way down to about six. Do you take anything away from that in terms of, you know, maybe it's just due to the last couple of matchups, or do you think that, you know, maybe Rick Barnes is kind of morphing this team into, to me, what looks like more of a small ball lineup, again, with key guys being Springer, Johnson, and Josiah Jordan-James?
Well, I mean, he's not played well.
Yeah.
He's not played well, and if, I mean,
no double digit games.
You can't just play a guy just because you need. I mean, if he's not playing well, he's not going to see the floor. And I mean, I hope he gets it figured out, because I mean, I think we'll need him on down the road. But I don't know. He has not lived up to expectations so far this year. I mean, we've talked about it a few times. He can go out and get you some boards, but he struggles mightily around the rim.
Yeah.
To finish.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you just, I think that's been one of the biggest issues of this team, at least in the first part of the season, and kind of just now starting conference play, is sometimes like we just miss easy shots. Just right around the rim. And that and free throws, it drives me insane. But yeah, I mean, if he's not playing well, I mean, Barnes was talking about it the other day, they went with the lineup that they hadn't even practiced with before, and it was four guards and then Pons at the five. I mean, I would expect to see more of that. I think, and I mean, like you said, maybe there are a couple games where there's there's a good matchup, and you can see Anasicki get in there a little bit. But
yeah, and again, I think that Tennessee does not have an abundance of big men, but you know you need those big men to get to the foul line, and that's a key part of the game today with big men being so athletic. You know, I look at Anasicki, who for a big man is only shooting about 1.5 free throws a game right now, which is not a ton in comparison to a guy like John Fulkerson, who's getting to the line anywhere from 4 to 6 times a game right now, which in reality, you know, that's a difference in 4 to 5 points. I think that could be huge for EJ each game if you could provide 4 to 5 more points. But even looking at that, Pons only gets to the line 1.2 times a game. Doesn't that seem low? That's a guy that needs to be getting to the free throw line much more. His highest shooting games of the season so far are when he has shot more than, four free throws. So obviously that's a key component. That guy's got to get to the line. But either way, Tennessee Vanderbilt tomorrow night. We'll continue the conversation soon. Don't go anywhere. This is the Blitz. All right, here we go. Back here on the program today, each and every call that we receive here on the show is brought to you every single day by our good friends over at the law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helmy.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. Again, that's g3helmy.com. And remember, as always, that is G3 is in the number, not the word, g3helmy.com. All right, without any further ado, Chance, let's head over to the G3 Help Me hotlines and get a call from Phil. Here a day before the Tennessee basketball game, before a bunch of football playoffs. Phil, welcome to the show today. How you doing?
Good morning, Fabulous.
What's going on?
I figured I'd call and talk to my buddies in the morning.
Well, thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. We're happy.
Did y'all hear the preseason show compare themselves to Hugh Freeze, and they compared the drive to Jeremy Pruitt this morning? That's pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
I did hear that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shots fired.
Oh, shots fired.
From the morning to the drive crew.
I can't wait to hear the response later in the day. No.
Oh, wow.
What do we like? We like a Jamie Chadwell, rising star.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's who we are. Perfect. We're young, fresh.
That's perfect.
I would say like an Andy Reid because we're the sexiest of them all.
Okay.
Okay.
Andy Reid is sexy.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's pretty cool. Guys, Tennessee don't ever blow Vanderbilt out too much. Even I don't know what we're thinking. We're just going to be an easy win.
No, I'm as Charlie and Brandon were saying, there are reasons why this Vanderbilt team is good. And I don't think it's going to be necessarily a walk in the park. I think that, you know, we got a top 10 team. I don't think teams like this should necessarily scare us too much. But, man, you never know with Vanderbilt. And they certainly got some momentum over us in just the sports world lately. But I'm excited for this game, especially being at home.
Don't y'all got all stats there? Vanderbilt's one of the shoots more threes about anybody. Don't I mean? I think Alabama probably shoots more than Arkansas.
I know when we talked about that yesterday. I know definitely Arkansas was in the top three because I know that they shoot about 30 a game, and they make about 10 of those. And we were talking about Alabama. We were talking about Nate Oates, and that's what he goes out and gets, and they shoot a lot. As far as the rest, let me pull that up for you, Phil.
So three-point attempted, your top, they're in the top five. Your number one is Alabama, which would make sense because, you know, their style of shooting.
Yep.
And 3 points made, again, they're still in the top five. And then three-point percentage, they jump up to 4. Tennessee also in the top five in the three-point percentage.
What's Tennessee rank about three-point attempts? I bet they're ranking low, aren't they?
So in three-point attempts, yeah, Tennessee's 12 out of 14 in the conference, only at 175. Meanwhile, to put it in comparison, number 14 is South Carolina at 114. Number one is Alabama at 381. So Alabama shot about 206 more three-point shots than you this year.
Hey, but Tennessee, while they may not be shooting as much, they're hitting them at a decent clip. I mean, you're top five in percentage. You'd like to be a little bit higher, but
what
35.
What we're making.
35, yeah. They're shooting 100. They've only shot 175 threes, Phil, but they're top five at 35%, only Vanderbilt right ahead of them.
I say we shoot more.
I do think we should
Springer
needs
to shoot more, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think he could open
and that
up.
Does kind of balance you out. You're at number seven right now in the conference in terms of just points per game, sitting at about 76.8. Again, your top five are Arkansas, LSU, Georgia, Alabama, Florida. But you're not too far back behind them at all. But that would make sense. A team that doesn't shoot the ball, you know, very much from behind the arc, mixed in with a strong defensive team.
And y'all were talking earlier about the Fulkerson gets fouled and goes to the foul line, but Inosicki and Ponce don't. Well, it's the way they get the ball, and they just don't. They can't drive it that good to get fouled.
Yeah, yeah. You certainly got to have that aspect of the game to know how to get the smart foul in order to be able to do that. And that's a tricky thing. You know that. You know, it's one thing for me to just say they need to get fouls more.
Well, Fulkerson gets to the rack. I think, especially what Phil's saying, and those guys they don't. Like, I mean, Pons, as athletic as he is, if he doesn't have a lane to get to the bucket and get an open dunk, or if he's not doing his little, you know, 7-foot turnaround jumper.
Well, I mean, Fulke's really the only one that kind of plays back to the basket. I mean, Anisicki does, but I mean, he's not. He doesn't finish strong. Fulkerson goes up. I wish Fulkerson would do it more.
Well, I'm saying
sometimes he does that little fadeaway thing.
Yeah. Well, Ponce does that a lot. Yeah. Ponce doesn't really play like back to the basket, up and under moves. I mean, every now and again, but it's a lot of turnaround jumpers for Ponce.
It's fadeaways. One note on the 3-point thing that just came to my head. It actually makes a lot of sense. I feel like obviously we know that Tennessee doesn't shoot the 3-ball too much just as it is, but it also makes sense. Like there hasn't really been a game where Tennessee has needed to, you know, erase a 10-point deficit. You know, there hasn't been a bunch of opportunities for that. There hasn't been a ton of opportunities. Most of the season so far has been nursing a 15 to 20-point lead in games where you're not exactly trying to shoot the 3-point shot because it's not going to be as high percentage as other shots to just kind of maintain and extend the lead. I wonder where Tennessee moves as the SEC season goes on. I think that Tennessee will start to shoot a lot more because obviously you will get these much closer scoring contests.
And we play Kansas January 30th at 6 p.m., right?
Yeah, man. I can't wait. I can't wait for that game.
You know, the one weakness Tennessee has is where it's obvious they don't have a rim protector, and they don't have a guy who can just get the ball on the block and score if you need a bucket on the block.
I would argue that Pons is a rim protector in a more unconventional sense, and that Fulkerson is a guy that can get on the block and score.
Most of the Pons is a rim protector and is coming off his man and helping out, and when he blocks most of his shots.
So,
I'm talking about somebody that's a five-man who can rebound and control the paint. Somebody, you know, 6'9", 6'10", or 6'11", that's you don't have to be a great scorer, but somebody who can, you know, that keep you from getting in foul trouble. You don't want your scorers to get in foul trouble.
Sure. And you know, I actually agree. I really agree with Charlie. And I think that, you know, I think that the guys we have there are good for the style of, you know, the style of game that Tennessee's playing with the small ball. But the thing that does kind of worry me going forward is we were all very high on Tennessee's depth going into this season. And not that that's not there, not that that's changed really to any extent, but you are kind of already getting to a point where, you know, you got a 7-man rotation. I was hoping that Tennessee would have a very confident 8-man rotation. And granted, you know, we're sitting here in the middle of January right now. There's so much time. I'm sure Barnes doesn't even have a fraction of, you know, the final product figured out in his head yet. But I was kind of hoping to have a little bit more of an expanded rotation because, you know, even though I agreed with Charlie about Fulkerson, when he goes off the bench and you do have to bring in an Anisicki, it does drop off a pretty good
amount. Yeah. Anisicki's what, 6'7", 6'6"? Pond's a 6'5". I don't care how good of a rim protector you are, they're gonna keep bringing that ball in there. And if you got anybody knows anything about basketball. LSU's got big guys, Alabama's got big guys, and Auburn's got big guys. Y'all seen Auburn?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially the the freshman that just came to the team, right?
Well, that, no, he's a point guard. But I mean, they got a freshman big guy who's looks pretty dang good. Burning big guy we got right now. So everybody thinks we're going to go breeze to the league with one or two losses. They're living in fantasy land. It's probably going to league champion might have three or four losses.
You've already seen in college basketball this year how unless, you know, you're one of those top two teams, a Gonzaga or a Baylor, it looks like losses are going to be just as abundant, if not more, this season. We're just raving about how great Texas looked a couple days ago with the win against Kansas, and then they turned around and I believe lost to an unranked Texas Tech. You know, so I think that these losses everywhere in the league, again, maybe besides one and two, I think that they're going to be abundant just because of the nature of the beast this year.
That guy, Texas Tech's a great coach.
Oh, he's Beard. Absurdly good.
Yeah, he can. That's a, and he used to. I think he's a Texas grad. It's even more comical. Or he used to coach there. You know, as a assistant coach. All right, guys, y'all have a good weekend.
I appreciate the call, Phil.
Go Vols.
Good stuff there. Thank you to Phil, as always, for the call. Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily think we're going to – yeah, I've never necessarily had a thought that we're going to breeze through the season by any means. But, you know, at the same time, I am trying to balance a healthy expectation and a healthy pressure of, man, this is a top-10 team. You know, a 4-5 Vanderbilt team, we need to expect that Barnes has this team ready to go and that this team is talented enough that this team should not scare. Now, granted, as we've seen, anything can happen, and we know that. We're not naive to that. But I definitely expect Tennessee to play hard and to play strong and get a nice little convincing win at home.
And Phil, you were correct. Chris Beard is a graduate of the University of Texas. He was a manager there while he was there under Texas Longhorns coach Tom Penders.
He went to McCullough in the Woodlands.
He did go to McCullough.
There. I mean, there's no coach in the country I'd rather have than Chris Beard, including Rick Barnes, honestly. Yeah.
I'll take Barnsley. Caught me slipping once, okay, so what? $2 and $3.
.10:50 back on the Blitz, final segment of hour number one. First hour of the show has been brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Been talking a little Tennessee basketball in this first hour, getting you ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow's a loaded day. You got Tennessee basketball, and you've also got the NFL playoffs. And FanDuel's got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting for you this weekend. It's called the Same Game Parlay. We've been telling you about those for a little while now, and they're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. Same Game Parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the divisional round this weekend. You can combine the money line, the over-under, player props, all into one parlay, and best of all, FanDuel is letting you place a Same Game Parlay bet risk-free. All FanDuel customers, you can get up to $10 back on your bet if you don't win. And the playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. We've been telling you about FanDuel all year long. Their app is easy to use. They've got fast withdrawals. They get you your money in as little as 24 hours. And they've always got some kind of odds boost or specials going on to give you more ways to win. So if you haven't tried FanDuel already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Use our code Blitz. That's promo code Blitz at sign up. If you are a current member, then you're all set to go. Go check out the Same Game Parlays, only available at FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. I was looking at those same game parlays. I like Packers money line.
I like Davante Adams to anytime touchdown scorer.
Okay.
And let's see if I can find the third leg on there.
Are you feeling risky enough to throw in a Davante Adams first touchdown of the game?
He scores a lot of those.
He scores a lot of those. Look, there's something to say about the beginning of games, right? Teams always, you know, the first offensive drive of every game, teams are doing their best. That's the plays that they practice. That's the drive that they know beforehand without a shadow of a doubt.
Oh.
And for the Packers, every play seems to go to Devontae.
And yesterday, whenever I was looking at these same game parlays,
yeah,
they did not have the player props. They didn't have the player props up until today. So I might
give me one for kicks and grins. One that you like.
Kicks and grins.
Jared Goff under 216 passing yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Under.
Under.
Although it might not be a blizzard there.
Jair has been doing pretty nice, and they gave Cam Akers a lot of touches last week.
Davante Adams receiving yards at 76.5.
I go for the over on that.
That's so tough, though, because that would be the
Jalen Ramsey, though.
That would be the season high, I feel like, on this Rams secondary, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, Jalen Ramsey is so good.
Well, it's not just Jalen Ramsey, too. It's their entire secondary. I mean, especially Jalen Ramsey. He's the best.
I can't wait for that game, man. That's the very first game of the weekend for the playoffs?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the starting us out.
Except you're going to have to turn off the second half to watch Tennessee. So.
Oh, yeah, 6 o'clock game. A little bit of an earlier tip. So that means it's, I guess, 5 o'clock time for our Central Time Zone friends out there. But, gentlemen, as we come to a close here in hour number one, we still have lots on deck for hour number two, including a little bit of breaking news from the Tennessee football world. No. Don't worry. There's been no removal of a head coach yet. However, there is still a little bit of news that you will find interesting. We'll give you that whole story and more coming out just 20 minutes ago from Austin Price and Brent Hubbs over at VolQuest.com. So we will we'll share a little bit of that news. But, man, big story coming out right now about Tennessee football. We were debating it a second ago during the break, and we already have plenty of differing opinions about what this story means and where it's going to go from there. So be sure to stick around in just a couple of minutes. That is where the second hour is going to lead off. Otherwise, just like we were talking about now, what Brandon was letting you know, NFL playoffs, they're starting tomorrow. Green Bay, L.A., they're kicking it off. And then we'll move into the rest of the three games from there. We'll get you ready for every single one of those games, including our own picks and predictions from that. And then we'll see what else we can get into. Guys, we got one more hour left until the weekend. Let's make sure we have some fun. Don't go anywhere. 865-546-8200. We got some Tennessee football news coming up next. You won't want to miss it right here on the Blitz.